Again, let me say that we have several visitors with us this morning. We're delighted to see you and hope that you'll come back and be with us again soon. If you haven't done so already, we'd appreciate it if you'd fill out a visitor's card, and you can leave that with me at the back door or on the way out or drop it in the collection plate, whatever you choose. But we appreciate your presence. How would someone answer these questions about you? Are you faithful as a Christian? Are you faithful to God and to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you faithful to the Lord's church? Is there really a difference? In a recent article in his Daily Bread emails, Brother Neil Pollard writes about a young man that he had recently met while on a mission trip to Cambodia. Neil described that young man as, quote, an intelligent, independent young American man in his mid-20s who not only grew up in the church, but even attended a Christian high school in one of our Brotherhood universities. He was doing field research for an advanced degree in cultural anthropology, which brought him to Cambodia. Neil goes on to state that this young man is a decent, inquisitive person, seemingly intent on bringing positive change to this world. But he told us, Neil said, upon leaving his home state after graduating from college, he ceased association with the church. When he was asked about his religious life, he said this, "I don't consider myself unfaithful. But I'm not attending the church right now. I guess you could say I'm just sort of taking a break." Now, we started out a few minutes ago with these questions, and I want to throw out three more that'll form the basis of our lesson. Do we have a really good, accurate definition of faithful? Do we really know what it means? And then regarding faithfulness, can it be gauged, measured, quantified? And if so, how would we go about doing that? And then number three, is it possible to claim faithfulness without demonstrating faithfulness? I'd like for each of us to think for just a minute, what comes to mind when you hear the term faithful or faithfulness? Or maybe some person comes to your mind as a representation or an illustration of faithfulness. I know some people, and whenever I think of the term faithfulness, their face just sort of comes into my mind because they have, for so long as I've known them, they've illustrated what real faithfulness is all about. You know, I'm not so sure that we haven't let that word, that term, faithful and faithfulness, become a sort of a spiritual catch-all or at least a synonym for regular worship attendance. I've had people ask me sometimes, well, does so-and-so attend worship there where you preach? And I'd say yes, and they'd say, are they faithful? And what they normally mean is, when they ask that question, is are they in attendance at worship assemblies a regular amount of the time? And that's usually, I've found, what the question is asking. I'm thinking, though, that faithfulness, according to the Scriptures, involves more than just being regular in our attendance to the worship services. I'm fairly certain that the terms faithful or faithfulness, for a lot of us anyway, reside in that realm for a lot of us of things that we think we know what they are, but we'd have a hard time putting them into words. That's what faithfulness is to a lot of people. I know what it means, I just can't tell you what it means. I know what it's all about, I just can't put it in words. There are a lot of things that I relate to in that way. And that's not always a bad thing, but I'm wondering if that's where faithfulness really deserves to be. So I want you to join me this morning for the next few minutes on a brief journey into how the Bible uses this term faithful and faithfulness, and maybe we can see a little bit more about what it means to us. I want us to begin with the first of those three questions that I said would form the basis for our lesson. What does faithfulness mean? Do we have a good definition for it? What does it mean to be faithful? Words are always interesting to me, and especially the study of words of the Bible. And one of the first things that I like to do is kind of count up and see how many times this word's used in the Bible. That's not always helpful information, but I think at this point it does help us some to know that some form of the word faithful occurs at least 110 times in the King James translation of the Bible. Old and New Testament combined. It's about 60 times in the Old Testament and about 50 times in the New Testament. Most of the Old Testament references to the word faithful and faithfulness are passages that are talking about God. And God is described in the Old Testament as being faithful, and usually that's a statement to God's consistent dependability. The fact that God will always do what He says He will do, that He can always be trusted to come through with whatever it is that He says or that He promises. A few times we find it in the Old Testament referring to some notable characters of the Old Testament. For example, Moses is referred to in Numbers chapter 12 and verse 7. And there in that verse, God is talking about Moses and He says, "He is faithful in all my house." It's also interesting that that statement is quoted by the New Testament writer in the letter to the Hebrew Christians in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 5. And what God is saying there about Moses, I believe, is that Moses was true to the Lord. We find the term faithful also used in describing Hezekiah, the good king of Judah, recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 31, verse 20. And it says regarding Hezekiah, "He wrought that which was good and right and faithful before Jehovah his God." We find the term used in describing Daniel, not in a spiritual way, but in a secular way. And yet the two are so intertwined in Daniel's life, it would be hard to separate them. But Daniel chapter 6 and verse 4, describing Daniel as one of those commissioners over the satraps in the kingdom of King Darius, tells about the occasion when Daniel's fellow commissioners began to try to find something wrong with what Daniel was doing so that they could accuse him. And verse 4 says, "He was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him." Speaking from a civil servant standpoint, a political standpoint, if you will, everything that Daniel did was right, and he was described as such as being faithful. Now, on the other hand, in Psalm 78, we find the psalmist talking about the nation of Israel, the Israelites, and particularly referring to a time when they fell away from the Lord and His way. It describes them in Psalm 78, verse 37, like this: "For their heart was not steadfast toward Him, nor were they faithful in His covenant." When we look to the New Testament for the use of that word faithful, we find it often meaning trustworthy. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, Paul describes the steward, and he says a man is required to be faithful. The word there literally means trustworthy. The good and faithful servant of Matthew chapter 25, and also the wise and faithful manager of Luke chapter 12, were described as such by Jesus because they could be trusted to do whatever it was their master wanted them to do. There was no question. And on the other hand, the wicked and slothful or lazy servant was the one who did not carry out the will of his master, but sought another thing to do in its stead. The passage that John read to us a few minutes ago from the Psalms, referring to God's people longing and looking to God like the servant longs for the eye of his master, is a true representation of the relationship that we should have. And this faithfulness concept comes into play very much when we think of ourselves in our true role as being God's servants. And I suppose in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the talents, and later on in Luke's account of the gospel, Jesus tells another similar parable, the parable of the minas. Both of them were based on the concept that servants were entrusted with something by their master, and some of them did well and were described as faithful. Others did not do well with the responsibilities, and they were condemned. But perhaps we find the clearest application of the term and the concept of faithfulness in Acts chapter 11. Join me there in your Bible, if you will. It is in this chapter that we learn about the brand new little congregation of God's people in Antioch. If you study that chapter, you'll learn that the church in Antioch had been the result of brethren being scattered from Jerusalem because of the persecution, and then preaching and teaching as they went along their way. And in Antioch, they found a group of Gentiles who were particularly receptive to God's word. And thus that congregation was established when those folks began obeying the gospel. And when the brethren in Jerusalem heard about it, it says there that they sent Barnabas. Barnabas was an encourager. He was the man for the job, especially for a new church, a group of people who were just starting out. And verse 23 says, "When Barnabas came and witnessed the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose." to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. Now I want you to listen to how the New American Standard Translation renders that. He began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. True to the Lord. Are we true to the Lord? You know, it's interesting that we understand full well what it means to be true to something or someone, especially in a secular way. But we sometimes tend, I'm afraid, to lower the standards a little bit when it comes to being true to the Lord. I mean, it's pretty noticeable when someone is true to his wife or she to her husband, and particularly when they have been untrue. We know what that means. When a fellow is true to his alma mater, to his team, don't you get in his way. We know how serious that is. True to the brand or to the label. The brand is actually an old cowboy term that referred to the ranch that you worked for, but now it's come to be used as the product. You're true to the company. You're a company man. You're true to the label. You're faithful to whatever it is that you make your living at. Oh yeah, we know exactly what all is involved in being true to our team, true to our wife, true to the company. But I'm afraid we sometimes struggle when it comes to the matter of being true to the Lord. It just seems to me like we're a little bit quicker to let things get in the way of being true to the Lord than we are these secular things. It's kind of like being true to the Lord is out there in a sort of a gray area, and we're afraid to really draw any lines and define what being true to the Lord, faithful, is really about. So let's proceed to that next question. Faithfulness, can it be gauged, measured, quantified? If so, how? I hear the question a lot. How faithful is he? How faithful is she? Are they really faithful? You know, the more I think about it, the more I fear that we may be guilty of putting spiritual faithfulness in a category of, as I said, lesser importance than like marital faithfulness. You know, I don't think there's anything that should come in the way of marital faithfulness in the true sense of faithfulness. I don't think there's anything that should come in the way of true spiritual faithfulness to the Lord. Ladies, just imagine the question being asked about your husband. Well, is he faithful to the marriage? And you give the answer, well, he's fairly faithful most of the time. I gotta say, you know, he's. Somehow I don't think that would be an acceptable arrangement, at least from the standpoint of the ladies. Is there really such a thing as sort of faithful? I think I heard her say, no siree, there's not. Is there any such thing as a little bit faithful or mostly faithful? are faithful most of the time? If we bear in mind that faithful to the Lord means true to the Lord, we can hardly imagine a situation where it would be acceptable to be less than true to the Lord. I don't think there are degrees of truth. Please understand, we're not talking about perfection here. But we are talking about doing our best. And fellas, if you want to go home this afternoon and let your wife write down some guidelines as to what it means to do your best to be faithful to the marriage, well, on second thought, I think you'd agree with me that probably wouldn't even be necessary. We do know that God places a great deal of importance on faithfulness. In fact, in his conversation with the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus made it clear that there was a problem with their conduct. In verse 23, he talks about some little things and some big things. In fact, in verse 23, faithfulness is described by Jesus as being one of the weightier matters of the law. In studying the context of this passage, it's clear that Jesus considers all manners of obedience and service to God to be very important. And here's what he said in verses 23 and 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others, you blind guides, straining out a gnat and swallowing a camel. Again, in the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 through 30, Jesus makes a distinction between that good and faithful servant who performed the duties entrusted to him and the wicked and lazy servant who was afraid to even try to obey his master. There's some who've been heard to say something to the effect that, well, you know, faithfulness is a very private, personal thing. And in a sense, that's true. It is. If you don't give it your private, personal best, you're not going to accomplish it. But it's not all an internal thing. It is something that needs to be outwardly visible. Because Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, that there are certain things that God demands that we incorporate into our conduct and our behavior, and he refers to them as the fruit of the Spirit. These are things that we should be known for practicing. And he says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Well, let's get that third question out of the way. Faithfulness. Can we claim it without demonstrating it? Well, let me ask you another question. Is God faithful? As we noted in the very beginning, God is faithful. God is the epitome of faithfulness. A great many of the passages in the Old Testament, as we noted, include the word faithfulness in describing God. Well, but how specifically do we know that God is faithful? Deuteronomy 32 and verse 4 describes God this way. The rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are just. A God of faithfulness without injustice, righteous and upright is he. Now look at Psalm 33 and verse 4. For the word of the Lord is upright, and all his work is done in faithfulness. Isaiah 25 and verse 1 says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will give thanks to your name. You have worked wonders, plans formed long ago with perfect faithfulness. Now, according to those passages, we know that God is faithful because of his work and his ways and his plans. In other words, God doesn't just claim to be faithful. God demonstrates his faithfulness. If all we had to go on was just somebody's word, if all we could hold on to was just some abstract idea that somebody had expressed, and we couldn't have any knowledge of what God had done, what he had created, what his plans were, and how they came to pass, and so forth, we might wonder about the faithfulness of God, but the fact is he's demonstrated his faithfulness. How could we be any different? Faithfulness is not just a claim. It's not something we brag about. It's something we do. Several years ago, a fellow by the name of John Moore wrote the words that have been put to music and are sung by a lot of folks. We don't use this song, we just haven't learned it yet. But in the chorus, here's what it says. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. You know, there is a very real sense and a very important sense in which you and I are the result of some very faithful people. Because of the faithfulness of those who have gone before, we have heard the truth, we've been taught the word, and we've obeyed. Are we leaving a trail for those that come along after us to follow? Are you faithful to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the church? Isn't it all the same thing? Are we really true to the Lord? Or are we constantly doing things that call that into question? If you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, the New Testament teaches us clearly that one must believe in Jesus as God's Son, repent of his sins, confess his faith, and be baptized into Christ to have sins washed away. In so doing, we become new creatures, members of the body of Jesus Christ. If you haven't done that, there never will be a better time than right now. If you have done that but have become unfaithful in your service to God, and particularly if that unfaithfulness is evident to others, and most of the time it is, it needs to be acknowledged. Let it be known that you're going to turn away from that kind of conduct, be restored. If we can assist you in any way in your obedience to the Lord's invitation, we invite you to respond as we stand together and sing.